Blog Talk Radio.
Why can't I get this to play? Oh, there we go. I think that worked. What goes automatically? No, because I didn't pick a song, because I didn't set it up, because you took too long to fucking show this shit to me. I didn't set it up. It's just on normally. We don't have a song that normally plays.
We have a Sunday show, right?
Uh-huh. There's not a song attached to it. No, it doesn't. Really, because I just had to press play.
Oh,
welcome to the questionable intelligence report.
Oh, that's so weird.
Well, we're all in the same place, so it's weird. And
I hear you in real life before I hear you on the phone.
I figured Louis would go into his bedroom, but he's camping out in the living room with us. Do you have a speaker on that thing?
Yeah.
Hey, put it on. Fuck this.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, no,
like
I can't hang
me.
This up.
Yeah. We can talk into this now. Technical difficulties.
Technical
difficulties. So it's only the three of us today, and we have really nothing to talk about since we did the show, basically, in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, none of you got to hear it. Ah.
These gentlemen have been farting up my couch and disintegrating it fiber by fiber for the last 24 hours.
Absolutely. We're here drinking. At least I am. Nick was. I don't know if he is anymore. Mick, drinking?
I hear the weirdest echo.
It's all right. You can come over here.
Let us stand by
you
guys.
You can hang up and install this talk right
now. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Christy is missing, which really means that she's either having sex with her husband, who may or may not be a stranger, or possibly dealing with 2,000 children.
It's probably getting worse.
It could very well be getting worse. So one of the things that we came across, thanks to Mick.
Oh, no, not thanks to me. Thanks to Lou.
No, it was Mick.
Thank you, Mick.
No, this is not thanks to me.
This is absolutely thanks to you.
Dick.
Is Alyssa Rosales. Now, there's a theory here, apparently from someone on the internet, that says that she, this is all an elaborate revenge scheme by an ex-boyfriend. That these videos were not her.
I don't want to believe it.
I'm not sure I do.
I want to believe it's 100% real.
I don't know why anybody would do that. But the premise of these videos is that she is having sex with the dog. The same dog.
Would it be better
if these two dogs? I mean, you got to take it up. That's an established relationship. I mean, it's not just
What's wrong with you?
I am terrible. I don't feel good.
Oh, you should have just said, oh, no, I'm sick. I can't do the show.
Oh, well, I'm sick.
Wait, you can do that?
I've done it. Do you want to go, Christy?
I got to start pulling that card.
Yeah, I'm going to lay down.
All right, you go do that.
All right,
have fun.
Better.
Take care. Feel better.
Yeah, don't play
Watch
with yourself. Don't be using this kind of players.
That's too bad. I wanted her reaction to Alyssa Rosales.
I know. Damn.
I'm pretty sure it would have been very moist panties.
On your part, perhaps. Your panties might have moistened. So
they totally
the whole
did.
Thing is, there's at least two videos, two different videos of this very attractive young lady fucking a dog.
Cutie. Fucking a
she's
dog.
Very, she's very
cutie
much
fucking
a cutie.
A dog. And it's really
like
upsetting to me because she's
a girl.
She's hotter than any girl I've ever fucked, so it's kind of annoys me.
I know, and the dog is getting to hit that shit on the regular.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the difference is that we all fuck dogs, okay? There's no, it's not like we're any stranger to dog fucking. We all do that, but we keep it a private, hidden part of our lives because it's embarrassing.
I'm fucking Louis' dog right now.
Leave my doggy alone.
Yeah, leave his doggy alone, I guess.
Come here, Max. You like it.
So basically, this girl is famous on online for having posted a video on her Facebook page of fucking a dog, straight up fucking a dog.
Yeah,
yeah,
her
backstory
was to the universe was that she lost a bet, and a bet's a bet. So my question is, why did you lose 5 bets and 10 bets? So you have all these fucking videos online?
Right, yeah. If you lost a bet and did it once, I mean, I suppose there's some honor in paying up your debt, although to me that's just the strangest bet ever. Like, I want to know what she would have won if she won. But, yeah, if you lose a bet and make one video, so be it. But I don't see the need for subsequent videos. I feel like that's more than losing a bet.
Well, it's just the thing. According to her website that we read last night, which we will read again, on the show, she's fucking a dog in 2 different videos, and in the third one she fucks 2 dogs. So if this was the bet that she lost, which she didn't mention anything about the bet in this particular website that's allegedly of hers,
right.
And she says she's from the United States, which is both shocking and not shocking at all at the same time. It's the problem is that there's one of the first things that came up when you do search for her name is a blog by some guy that says that it's an elaborate revenge scheme from her ex-boyfriend, who after they broke up found a videos of a girl being fucked by a dog that looks very much like her. Now, I have not seen these videos. Has anybody else seen these videos?
I have not.
No, but you look it up and you see the screenshots, because I guess if you try to click for the video, it's like banned or something.
Yeah,
it's not something I would look to download. Like, that makes me a little bit nervous, but yeah.
I don't believe a word that you just said about that. I believe that you probably have them saved on your computer already.
Absolutely. So there's screenshots of her enjoying the shit out of it.
Right.
And there's also, like, on YouTube, they have, like, reaction videos of it. Like, you know, like the 2 girls in a cup one, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Which to this day I haven't seen. I get the premise of 2 broads eating shit, but. But yeah, there's a reaction. Reaction videos.
So Mick, do you have this? Can you read
from her
this?
Her little intro for her videos.
Yeah, because I can't seem to find it.
Up.
You're the only one. You can pull that up. I can't find it.
Yeah, I have it. Okay, so here is her mission statement. So, Alyssa Rosales here. First of all, I would like to thank everyone for watching my videos that I shared on Facebook. Yes, they are all real videos, and I have sex with my dog. If you want to know more about me, my name is Alyssa Rosales, and I'm from U.S. I'm trying to earn for life with making videos.
Well, could you just read that the first 3 sentences again, just one more time?
Sure. Hello, Alyssa Rosales here. First of all, I would like to thank everyone for watching my videos that I shared on Facebook. Yes, they are all real videos, and I have sex with my dog. If you want to know more about me, my name is Alyssa Rosales.
Okay, let's stop right there just for a minute, which we pointed out in conversations yesterday. We don't need to know any more about Alyssa Rosales. If she fucks these dogs,
right.
That's really – like, you can learn about the rest of her life from the fact that she's not only fucked a dog once, but at least 3 times.
And recorded it.
This is a woman, nothing that you could say about what has happened to her in her life would shock me in any way. I know everything I need to know about this chick, which is that, A, you can't trust her because if she's going to fuck a dog, she will fuck anything. Absolutely anything. I mean, I love dogs, but not sexually.
No. Not even Max.
Yeah,
not
she
even
still
Max.
Got a dog. You're gonna be walking down the street with her on your arm, and she'll go down an alley and fuck a stray dog.
Well, that's just the thing. So if she's fucking dogs, that you can't. Not only can you, like, you can't live with this girl and have a dog, because as soon as you leave, like, you have no idea what's gonna happen. Like, you know, and one thing led to another is what she's going to tell you. Oh, you know, I was alone with the dog and peanut butter. And,
oh, yeah, you should have seen the way he looked at me. Yeah, like.
You know, he asked for it with what he was wearing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and make let's be real about the dog fucking. With a creature that does not have human intelligence, having sex with them is pretty much rape.
Yeah, they can't really differentiate anything what's going on.
The first thing I thought,
like,
really,
they're not really aware. They don't have the cognizance to say, hey, maybe this isn't a good idea, or, you know, I don't see you that way.
Right.
Like,
you're in the friend zone.
Psychologically, it is damaging for a dog, you know? Like, you know,
it could very well be. That's why it's illegal, and that's why it's considered abusive.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, bestiality is rape. That's kind of the issue, one of the issues. The other fact is that, you know, it's a dog dick.
Yeah, that's gross, man. I've seen a dog dick in my day, one or two.
You have, quite a few of them.
Up close to my face.
I'm looking at one right now.
Well, yeah, probably. But, you know, it's not pretty. I mean, I think, you know, I'm going to say I'd rather suck a human dick, a guy's dick. A dog dick.
Well, I don't think that's even a question. If somebody held a gun to your head and said, here, you have to take a human dick into your mouth and suck on it to completion, or you just have to suck on a dog dick for 10 seconds. Which would you pick?
Yeah, I would go gay. I would be homosexual from then on.
Right.
Sure.
Well, see, that's just, like, we don't know what the – I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what the average, you know – time is between arousal to ejaculation of a dog. So 10 seconds could possibly be enough for the dog to blow its load in your mouth.
Oh, my God, that would be disgusting.
So this chick, so first off, she says her name twice. If you want to know more about, my name is Alyssa Rosales. If you want to know more about me, my name is Alyssa Rosales.
Right.
So what we have here is a person who, there really isn't much to, other than the fact that she fucks dogs.
No, there's no need to go any more in depth.
Yeah, like, she could win the Nobel Peace Prize and she would still be known as a dog fucker. Like, it's not.
Well, that's just the thing. The only peace prize she's going to win is a prize for, you know, making peace between dogs because they're all fucking her. But the thing is, like, this is not a woman who is going to have a poetic view of the universe. She's not someone who holds lofty opinions on, you know, what the dangers of capitalism might be. This is not someone whose thoughts extend to the breadth and depth of the universe.
Yeah, it's tragic because she's a cutie, too. She's a pretty girl.
So let me ask you a question, though. If she wasn't cute, would it be less tragic?
Yeah, if she was a fat, horrific mess, like, well, there's that.
But why, though? Wouldn't it be more tragic because then it's like, okay, this poor broad has absolutely nothing, so she's got to fuck dogs. Like, isn't that sadder? Or are you just more upset that this chick chose dogs, fucking dogs, over fucking one of us? Because
yeah,
that's where
I'm
coming from.
I'm a little
from.
Upset about that, but I would say that dog fucking of all kinds by all people is equally tragic. Like, I don't think her is any worse or better than some ugly broad fucking a dog. It's pretty much all the same to me.
What about you, Lou?
Yeah, there's, you know, there's a blanket non-dog fucking clause.
Right.
Mission statement.
There should
but
be a universal
except
blanket
that, except
non-dog
that, fucking. Would it feel different? I mean, anybody fucking dogs is but like, would you have a reaction? And I think, actually, I think if any, I wish we had Joe Rogan on the show because I'm sure he'd have a great opinion on this. But would you have a different reaction if it was a fat, ugly broad fucking a dog? Wouldn't you be like, oh, poor dog? Or perhaps like, you know, like you wouldn't be as repulsed because you'd be like, yeah, you know, I guess what else does she have? You know, she's got to fuck a dog. Who else is going to fuck her? Like, would you have any kind of gut reaction like that?
I don't know. It still seems pretty repulsive to me regardless of who's fucking the dog.
But I do think it's that this hot chick is wasted on the dog. I do believe that it's sad.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's an elimination of a hot chick over there, the hot chick gene pool.
But that's like, and I mentioned this before, and you guys can laugh as much as you want, but in other of these horrible videos that I've seen, the majority of the women that I've seen in these videos where they're fucking a goat or a dog or a horse,
yeah.
I can't even believe I've seen that many videos that there are a differentiation between animals.
Well,
but,
you know, those creep up on online now and again.
Well,
and
it's hard to defend in normal conversation, but the fact is that I've been looking at horrible shit on the internet for a very long time.
I know.
So
yeah.
I've seen but Lou and I have both seen things. Like we've seen
death.
I've
wished many times that I never saw. Like I never had the internet. Like I think I'd be a much better person if I never had the internet.
Yeah. No, I think the opposite actually. I think I'd be more likely to enact some of those horrible things instead of being disgusted by them on the internet.
What was that site they used to have in the early stages of the internet that would show like stuff like that, like mutilations and killings and stuff like
yeah.
that?
Like
Gore.
Gore.
I can't remember the name of it.
No, what, Consumption Junction?
No. No, it was like a short name. I can't.
Ogrish?
Ogrish.
No, it wasn't that. I can't remember.
That's
Ogrish.
The one Lou and
definitely
I went to was Ogrish. That one was horrible.
Oh my god, dude. That shit was traumatizing, dude. Like straight
yeah.
up, like yeah. Mike and I stood in front of a computer for a couple hours, two maybe 3 hours, being fucked up. And I remember the first instance what it was. It was a Russian soldier getting gutted in the throat.
No.
Oh my god.
They jabbed a big Bowie knife in his throat and then cut outwards to just completely almost sever his.
Yeah. And I joked with Mike.
His,
I was like, I'm gonna do that to you. And Mike was. Do you remember that, Mike?
What?
And then I joked, oh, I'm going to do that to you, like kidding around. And you're like, no, man, it's kind of fucked up. And I said, yeah, you're right, man. It's not cool. So
yeah, I didn't even want to joke about that. That was
yeah.
The bottom line was that after yeah, go on, Louis.
We watched it, various things like that, people being murdered, like a lady getting out of court and her ex-husband who just divorced, you know, shoots her there, you know, crazy shit like that. And so it was just like hour after hour of that. And it was
beheadings, fucking
yeah,
dismemberments, you know, firing squads, obviously killing people, like stuff that Mick, were you around with the Faces of Death videos? Like did you see any of those back in the day?
I saw a couple, but I didn't, you know, I didn't watch a lot of
them. Well, I used to bring them over Enrique's house and we would watch them whenever we had like a big stay over party at Enrique's house.
Oh yeah, it's like and, a pajama girl party. Fucking
yeah, and we'd all watch Faces of Death. You know, so I've been seeing shit like that for a while. But Lou and I sat there for probably about a good solid 2 hours with just clicking these links. I don't know why we kept doing it either.
I don't know. Oh, you know what it was? It was Rotten.com. That's what it was.
Rotten.com is actually still around.
Yeah, okay, that's the one I saw a few times back in the day, and I was like, what the fuck is all this crap?
And we watched this stuff for 2 hours, and I mean, like, you know, Louis made that joke about, oh, you know, I should do that to you with the knife, and I was like, yeah, it's not really cool at all.
Funny.
And he was like, no, it's really not. And, like, I felt like my emotions had just been completely flatlined.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like just completely zeroed
exactly.
out. Like I felt fucking nothing. And it had to last for like a
I remember we walked out of the apartment building and we hadn't said a word while we were walking out of the apartment into the lobby and walked out of the apartment building. You're like, we said to each other, do you feel weird? You know, like, yeah, man, this is weird.
Right.
We went over to the diner Raceway. We were all quiet the whole time. And it really, like, traumatized us. We were like, damn, like, you know, life means nothing. You know, how many people get savagely killed? Like, it's just horrible.
It's crazy.
And honestly, I never felt like that after that until 9/11, actually. When 9/11 happened and we were watching, I felt the exact same way.
Yeah,
right.
After watching that. Just completely, like, you know, at some point I think your brain says to your body, like, we can't take this anymore, so we're just going to kind of shut off the emotions.
Yeah.
Like,
that's one of those things where, like, after, like, days and days of, like, nonstop coverage and footage of that kind of stuff, like, I was like, all right, I can't watch, like, I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, one of the benefits, I hate to say it, but one of the benefits coming out of 9/11 was that Lou and I hadn't spoken in like, we had a huge fight, and we'd spoken in like a year, and I started leaving, like, he was down in the city regularly, so I started leaving messages for him, like, dude, like, I need to know that you're okay at least, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't answer me right away, but eventually he did, and you know, that kind of started to bridge a gap, and we made up and shit, but the fucked up thing about all of, include that, the, what happened to us with the computer and 9/11 made me realize later, and obviously it took a long time for me to emotionally get over that fucking watching those videos. Like, it took us a couple of hours just to be normal again after seeing that shit. And it, as I thought about it, as I got older, I'm thinking, like, this affects us, and we at least have the, we at least have the benefit of being in a first world country where we can kind of go back to our routine and you know, kind of ease our way back into the normal way things go. But people who live, like, out in the Middle East, they don't have that option.
Yeah. And they see that a lot more often.
Yeah.
Real, you know, like 3D, you know what I'm saying? They touch that shit. They have guts spilling on their face and shit like that.
You know, people in Africa and people who, you know, you see somebody get raped right in front of you and somebody's arm chopped off and shit like that. And I think what, I think the problem is, the reason that we can't connect with those people, the reason that our society is always going to be at odds with them, is because our government doesn't understand that they just don't see human life the same way we do. They don't have the same value for it because they can't.
Yeah, right.
And they
hate us because we're
jerking each other off in bathrooms in fucking rest stops, you know, and going about our shitty little, you know, idiot American business. And they're dying by the handful, like, every day in front of each other.
Well, and the other thing is,
you know, and they're like, fuck those guys. Like, they,
mocking,
you know, why shouldn't we hate them?
Well, the thing, like, for us, you know, something like 9/11, which happened to us in our 20s, and like you said, it's not even the volume of stuff that people in other countries see on a daily basis, number one. Number two, a lot of these people who are seeing this are kids. So it's traumatic if something like that is for us to see in our 20s. How much more so is it for somebody who's like 8? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, to watch their family members get killed or to watch all these like horrific things going on. Like, that's got to be like debilitating. Like you said, at that point, they have no value for human life because they don't know any different.
And why should they?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can only comment on how you can relate. So when I had tinnitus, I had, you know, one of the toughest mentally challenging things I ever had. But every time I talked to somebody, all I could really think about was tinnitus. And then I really would listen to what they said after they said it, you know what I mean? Because the whole time I was just thinking tinnitus, ringing in my ears, tinnitus. And, like, it was a couple of seconds delay. So I can imagine, you know, that weight of, you know, murder and rape on someone being that much more, like, you know, they're not really in this world, really. They're just listening to people, you know, the brain is registering it, and then, like, oh, yeah, let me stop thinking about murder and, you know, answer this question of, like, what do you want in your coffee, you know what I mean?
It's just,
I feel like they don't. They get to a point where that doesn't, when they get to the point where the rape and murder doesn't faze them anymore is when they become really dangerous. That's when they become almost a blank slate that you can imprint for that crazy propaganda that turns people into terrorists. Because it gives, almost gives them something to feel about. You know, they don't have any emotions to really express. Because why should they? They have, you know, all they see is rape and murder and death, everything in front of them. People, I mean, our 9/11 is devastating to us as a culture, as an American culture, but these people, like, people in Palestine have had that happen to them, like, every month.
Yeah,
sometimes every week. You know, like, Israeli bulldozers coming in and destroying an entire village, you know, with people in it, you know, people who don't, who shouldn't have to leave their homes. And that's, like, whenever I hear, oh, you know, fuck that, fuck this, you know, fuck Israel, you know, fuck Palestine, who cares about, like, that's, I get that they're, you know, they should take a step forward and say, let's not maybe bomb Israelis, because that's not helping. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, what do you say to people who have to see that stuff every single day?
Yeah.
What do you say to people who have to deal with that kind of murder and death on such a regular basis that they become accustomed to it?
I don't really. Is there a coming back from that?
I think that's what leads to the dog fucking.
Yeah. Very much. There's no real coming.
Well, it's just the thing. Like, so things like that happen because they happen essentially in a vacuum. The reason that that kind of stuff happens is because people are unfortunately left way too much to their own devices. In corrupt governments, it's either so oppressive that it zeroes them out emotionally, or it's so fucking corrupt and out of control that there's lawlessness.
Yeah.
So as much as we may hate the status quo in America because we are very material, like, we still are in a better place than people in those countries.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
We're inoculated from that kind of, and maybe that's part of our problem. Maybe the problem is that we have too much of that stuff hidden from us. We have the privilege of not having to see what goes on in those places. You know, like, even after 9/11 happened, if you wanted to see the real face of 9/11, you had to watch British news because they were showing the people jumping from buildings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did kind of a bit divergent, but bear with me for just 1 minute. I believe, you know, when people have horrible experiences like that, and, you know, they keep marching on because, you know, people live and, you know, they want to keep, you know, breathing. You know, they eventually have kids, and they kind of pass on, if not that particular trauma, the ramifications of it, you know, a shitty attitude and what have you. You know, and it's just, I think that's something that you deal with for years to come, you know what I mean? And I don't know if I'm stepping out of line, but I feel almost like that's an issue or part of an issue with slavery, you know, in America. You know, like, they came from this horrible experience, you know, and so, you know, there's alcoholism and, you know, so you treat your kid like shit, and then they grow up to, you know, be an alcoholic and treat their kid like shit, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Well, see, I agree with you because, I mean, what we're talking about are things on such a grand scale, like slavery was such a grand scale of oppression, and it annoys me so much when people feel the need to point out the fact that, you know, oh, Africans also enslaved their people. Like, there were African slave traders. Who gives a shit? Like, that's almost, like, that's Stockholm syndrome to me. Like, of course there were, like, that's part of how they survived, how some of those people that were obviously a lot morally corrupt, which is unavoidable, survived over there. But that's not, like, I don't think, like, when I was in school, like, I wasn't taught that there were no black slave traders. You know, it wasn't just Whitey was bad at all. I mean, it's not like everybody doesn't know that there are also black slave traders. Why does that need to be pointed out so regularly by white people? I've only ever heard of a white person pointing that particular point out, number one. Number two, but the grand scale of slavery, you have to look at it from the perspective of, let's take domestic violence as a parallel. When somebody perpetuates domestic violence in a household, that affects generations to come because nine times out of ten, that kid also succumbs to that domestic violence attitude and beats their own kid or their wife or whatever. It comes from somewhere. Like, serial killers usually have had terrible childhoods. I mean, it starts somewhere. That cycle of perpetuation, and that's it on such a minor scale. Like, just domestic violence has influenced people so much and it's something in the grand scheme of the world, it's something that's kind of small. Like, as much as we need to stamp out domestic violence, like, I think we should maybe focus on getting rid of slavery worldwide first, because it still exists. So you have to look at it from that perspective and say, okay, if something like domestic violence can carry on through so many generations, what kind of damage does something like slavery do? And it's obvious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's profound. It's like a huge scar, and, you know, it's a huge burn scar across the face of, you know,
Yeah, and there's no amount of designated time where, like, someone should, quote-unquote, get over it or, you know, move on. Like, there's lingering effects for, like you said, generations. Like, it's not just a thing that affects one person or one group of people. It affects everybody.
It's annoying to me on two levels. The whole thing with, you know, the slavery and you know, because white people say, and even some black people say, oh, you know, slavery's in the past. Let's get over it. Let's stop blaming people for it. There's a certain truth to that, and I personally, whatever anybody says, like, I've analyzed the shit out of my own life, I can't remember a time where the white privilege has ever helped me. Like, I've been poor all my life. You know, I've been shit at everything. I never finished school. Like, you know, I didn't get a scholarship to school. Like, I haven't seen the product of white privilege. So, you know, when somebody blames me personally for slavery and the oppression of black people, like, that annoys me because I really want to take them and take a look at my life and say, look, like, this isn't – if I have white privilege, like, I'm missing it.
Well, that's where I think, like, you and I have kind of a unique experience because we grew up in such a – in a place where we were such a minority, and it was, like – almost like
Louis
weirdly
too.
Funny to me. Well, yeah, but okay. I'm saying, but like, it was weirdly funny to me at times where like we would get picked on at school, like just simply for being white, like we had done some like horrible thing to them, and I'm like, what am I doing to you? Like, what am I taking away from you? Like, what do you think I have personally? You know what I mean? Like, you want to blame me for something that you know happened? And again, it's not even something that happened to their family necessarily, but you know it was basically like anti-white sentiment on their part, and I'm like, what do you think I have? Like, to what you said, where is my white privilege? Like, it's not like I'm like living some opulent lifestyle because I'm white. We're all in the same struggle.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of unique to us,
right?
Who
yeah,
are lighter skin in a
definitely.
Well, okay, but what's cool, even like, more
you know,
unique to all three of us? Is and this is I think where a lot of people fail, and we have like as much as we can consider ourselves failures in our personal lives, this is something that I do think makes us as people better than other white people is the fact that even though that happened to all of us and we've all had that experience and it is somewhat unique and we can share in that fact, the fact is that after I was sort of removed from that situation, I started to actually look into why I was being treated like that. Like you can't just say, you know, and there was, believe me, there was a time where I really was totally racist because of that particular treatment towards me from the majority of black people that I encountered.
I definitely dropped N-bombs and, so I can definitely cop to my own resentment stemming from that, not that it was right, but yeah, I definitely
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've evolved to a point, and I don't think there are a lot of people that can claim that honestly. To say that, okay, I may not be completely 100% absolved or over my resentment from the way I was treated, but we do know why we were treated that way, and it allows us to empathize with that group of people.
Yeah, even more, actually, in
right.
a weird way. Which, you know, kind of, I know Mike has hit on this before. It really bothers us when the black community is anti-gay and anti-gay marriage because, you know, they've been through some shit, you know, and they know how it is to be through some shit.
Right.
What actually bothers me more than that is not just that they're anti-gay and they should be way more sympathetic to a group of people that are being marginalized like that, is where that hatred from them is coming from. It's not coming from
right.
a place other than, it's coming from Christianity of black
yeah.
people, which that blows my fucking mind, man. That blows, of all of, your hatred of a group of people for their quote-unquote unnatural ways is coming from a book that was foisted upon you by your slave masters. That religion was not automatically something that you fell into. You were sought out in Africa by white missionaries who roped you into this bullshit, or you came to America as slaves and were forced into this religion by white people.
Yeah.
And now you're using that fucking basis to discriminate against another group of, like, that's to me, that's utterly, that's something I will never understand about the black community. Not just their discrimination against gay people, which is fucking everywhere, but where that's coming from is mind-boggling.
Yeah, definitely.
Haven't we learned anything? I know why a lot of black men, particularly, but black people, I guess, switched to Islam. But I don't know. I'm of the opinion you should just shed the whole religion thing.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, you know something? I thought the monopoly, and I had to correct my own thinking because of something I saw this past week. I thought white people had a monopoly on insane church services and the way that they, the way that they speak in tongues and do crazy shit in church. Have any of you guys ever seen a video of like a Baptist ceremony, like a Southern Baptist black church?
Because I don't recall anything like. I don't think I've seen like a long stretch of.
Scene from the Blues Brothers where people were like backflipping and shit like that.
I was showing my wife.
Black people call it feeling the Holy Spirit, and they flop around and scream and cry like as insane as white people.
And they jump super high, doing backflips, cartwheels down the fucking mountain. It's a beautiful thing, really. I mean, it's misplaced energy, but
right,
the sense of community they must have is incredible.
But that's the craziest thing about that. Like everything I've ever seen where there's people, every video I've ever seen of somebody, mostly black, but white people do it too, of somebody like flipping their shit out in church because they feel the call of God, they feel the Holy Spirit, and they just start like, having an epileptic. They're crumping in church, basically. They're crumping.
Yes.
There's always someone right next to them. There's always like the calming presence that, like, gently has their hand on them to try to stop them from falling over, which also never works. But there's always, like, some relative who may really be into church but is not feeling the bullshit and is, like, trying to brace them a little bit because they, they don't want them to fall over and bust their hip.
Yeah, they're not caught up in the emotion of weirdness and letting go and toss. Talking poopy cock,
One of the things that I really love about that show, True Detective, is that the main character that's actually played by Matthew McConaughey, doing a fucking good job, surprisingly, is he had this one line about how church is fucked up because if people have to tell each other fairy tales that have no basis whatsoever in reality. To get themselves through the day, that it's not good for anyone. Like, that's, to me, that was like, okay. Like, that's probably the best summation of religion I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's up there, definitely. The funny thing is that's the writer's words. McConaughey, I don't know if he's, religious, but
I think he's like Buddhist or something.
I think he's religious on some level, because I do remember him talking about God during his.
So I'm going to say, he's spiritual but not religious.
He's
definitely God-checking.
Yeah, he's not a God-botherer.
No, I guess not.
I don't think he's a God-botherer.
He's
not a Bible
wife.
Thumper. I don't think he's a God-botherer.
Did you guys see his wife? She's not a white
hot,
girl. She's
hot Spanish-looking chick. Yeah.
She's a cutie.
I think she might even be Brazilian. I think she's like a Brazilian model. That fuck.
But she doesn't fuck dogs.
She doesn't fuck dogs. No, that's.
No, I bet not.
Which we never actually really talked about her. fucker.
Back around again. Dog fucking 101. Well, real quick, we stopped talking about dog fucking because, you said the shit we see on the internet. I think the other women that you've seen that are hot fucking dogs. They get paid to do it, or forced. This girl genuinely was fucking a dog. Like, that's her shit.
She loves fucking dogs. She loves it.
that's in her heart right there.
That's my shit. I fuck dogs, is what she said. You know?
Yeah,
she apparently genuinely enjoys fucking dogs and plans to post a video. And this is something, it actually piques my curiosity, is that she's going to fuck two dogs.